a gathering of up to 20 million individuals in one place to commemorate one single event brought out not by force, but by their own choice, many walking for days on end to reach their destination while being fed, clothed, and sheltered by complete strangers on the way. But why has the media been so muted in its response to this gathering? What is it about the gathering in Karbala for Arba'in, which commemorates the Battle of Karbala, the 14th-century-old stand of the Prophet's grandson and 72 of his family members and companions against tyranny and oppression, that does not appeal to the global mass media? Is Islamophobia at play? I'm Waqar Rizvi, and this is The Debate.
Pilgrims making their way back home from the Iraqi city of Karbala after the end of Arba'in rituals, the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Prophet Muhammad's grandson Imam Hussein. More than 20 million Muslims gathered in Karbala, its surroundings and other shrine cities in Iraq to mark the occasion. Hundreds of thousands of pilgrims walked for more than 12 days from Iraq's far south or across the border from Iran. These images show pilgrims in impassioned mourning for Imam Hussein. The pilgrims braved highly possible terrorist attacks by Takfiri militants operating in Iraq.
We fulfilled our pilgrimage to Imam al-Hussein, thanks God, in defiance of Daesh. Our morale is high. We visited Imam al-Hussein and we are returning home now, God willing.
It ended peacefully, God willing, in defiance of the enemy, and now we will keep coming in the future, and Daesh cannot stop us. We sacrifice ourselves, our young and old people, and our homes for Imam Hussein, and you can see people here from the east and the west.
But this year's Arba'in was not wholly peaceful. The pilgrims visiting Karbala came under a couple of terrorist attacks which killed a number of people. Arba'in mourners set a record this year. All Iraqi officials agree that this was the largest Arba'in they had ever seen. Still, such a huge gathering did not receive much media coverage in the West. This has surprised many in the Islamic media outlets who have been astonished by the massive turnout for Arba'in. Western mainstream media have created a negative image of themselves in the Muslim world. Muslims are leery of the Western media, and they attribute this to what they call Western media hypocrisy toward Islam and the Muslim world. As for this year's Arba'in, the largest Muslim gathering ever, many Muslims may suspect that the Western media's unwillingness to provide coverage of the event is part of a plan to play down the power of Shias to influence Jewish strategic equations in the Middle East and beyond.
The United States of America and most of the Western media and Western governments are keen to sustain and to promote this image of Islamophobia about the Muslims. They want to depict the Muslims as being terrorists. They want the Daesh version to prevail. They want the ISIS version to prevail. So the Westerners and even the Muslims would be afraid of the real Islam, the genuine Islam. They want to distort the image of Islam, and that's why when you have something that is completely different, when you have something that is shining, an icon of peaceful demonstration, people uniting and gathering, coming from the four sides of the world to Karbala, to Najaf.
Let's now introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. We're joined from London by Mr. Reza Kazem, who is a spokesperson for the Islamic Human Rights Commission. And we're also joined live from Washington by Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, who is a national security analyst. Gentlemen, we appreciate you both taking your time out to speak to us today. Mr. Korb, I'd like to start with you. Though a lot of the media did cover the Arba'in gathering in Karbala in passing, it wasn't given the importance one would think a peaceful gathering of anywhere from 17 to 20 million people would. Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't think it's quite correct to say it wasn't covered. I read about it on the BBC, and BBC comes on every morning here at 9 o'clock on National Public Radio. I also saw a story about it at AFP, the French press, and it was also picked up by Yahoo, which is a division of the American broadcasting company, ABC. I think the good news is, had there been the violence that a lot of people were predicting that ISIS or ISIL may have tried to cause there, it would have gotten a lot more coverage. Similarly, the media doesn't cover when Christians go to Jerusalem to celebrate the birth of Jesus or at Easter time in the crucifixion, unless something bad happens. And I think that's the good news, that this was very, very, very peaceful. But all of the things that you mentioned in terms of the number I heard on BBC last night.
Okay, Mr. Kazem, I'd like to get you in on this because actually the question of BBC, I'm glad Mr. Korb mentioned it, was going to be one of my later questions. So I'll bring it up now and ask you about the BBC's coverage of this. It seemed quite distorted because, you know, it said things like Imam Hussein was killed for a battle for leadership of the Muslim world, incorrect. And secondly, it said that this was a sectarian battle, again, incorrect. How do you feel about the BBC's coverage?
Well, it's typical of the BBC in terms of the way that it portrays this. It has been encouraging a sectarian narrative for quite some time, which is trying to get people to actually fight amongst each other. And it's completely distorting the fact that people from across the Muslim spectrum and from different sects from within Muslims actually commemorate what happened in Karbala. So one of the things is that with regards to this issue is that the BBC and many other Western channels have this idea of continuing to perpetuate sectarianism. And what they're attempting to do here by the comments that you talked about in terms of this leadership battle and this sectarian battle is to rewrite history of what actually happened in Karbala to give it this kind of, oh, this has been going on for centuries. Well, actually, this hasn't been going on for centuries. And I think it's something that needs to be recognized. I would also like to take issue with the gentleman who spoke from America, this idea that Christmas isn't covered. It's covered. We're inundated with it from all sorts of different ways that different aspects of Christmas are actually covered within the Western media. This was a huge gathering, that has actually taken place. And I think one of the things that is the reasons why these things are not covered and the analysis that is required, that is worthy of this event, is not provided, is because people are worried about what that analysis would actually reveal. People would start to draw parallels with what's actually happening today. So when we talk about Imam Hussein, you think also of Yazid. So when we think of it, there's also this saying that is very famous within Arba'een processions and in commemorations of Karbala, is this idea of every day is Ashura, every place is Karbala. So when people start to internalize that, okay, hang on a second, what was meant by that analysis? We start to think, okay, who is the Yazid of today? And when we think of the Yazid of today, people will say, okay, Barack Obama. And then look at other personalities from within the Karbala tragedy that actually took place and think about, okay, who was Ibn Ziyad of today? Francois Hollande, perhaps another candidate for Ibn Ziyad of today would be David Cameron. And when you start to make these analyses, it suddenly becomes quite challenging for the West to actually think about allowing this narrative, this analysis to actually be made. Because what they want to do is paint this into a sectarian corner. They want to paint this into a very narrow remit, far beyond what it actually...
Right. Let me take what you've said there, Mr. Kazem. Let me put that to Mr. Korb. Again, back to this issue of the BBC, Mr. Korb, because you mentioned it, I don't want to specifically just highlight the BBC, but because you mentioned it, it was a good example because I also saw that article and that coverage that you were speaking about. Now, on this issue of the two very important facts which they got wrong about what happened at the Battle of Karbala, i.e. they're saying that it's a leadership battle, and secondly, that it was sectarian. Both of those facts are incorrect, and even a Muslim child knows that those are incorrect facts, and a cursory look at the internet would find that those are incorrect facts. So what exactly is happening here? I mean, it's not a conspiracy to think that something really is going on behind the scenes here.
No, and again, the media in the West, in the United States, France, and the United Kingdom is free. I mean, if you don't like what they say, you can write a letter, you can go on social media. I mean, I disagree with a lot of stuff that I read in the Washington Post or New York Times, and I write a column, you know, basically saying that I disagree, and usually they do that. After the BBC, if you look at their story, there's a lot of comments on there, and that's what it is, a free press. Do they get it wrong sometimes, or do they have, people have a point of view? I'd say part of the problem is you have a lot of people covering stories who may not, understand what's happening. The other problem in the United States is we have less and less foreign coverage. Many of our bureaus, because the print media are, not doing so well financially, have closed their bureaus overseas, and so they have to rely on other people. And going back to what I said about Christmas, I didn't say you didn't cover Christmas. I would say there are no stories about people in the United States going to Jerusalem to celebrate Jesus' birth or going around Easter time, unless something happens, then you would have a story. But it's not a story to say that American Catholics went to Jerusalem to celebrate Jesus' birth. No, that's not the story.
Okay, interesting.
Can I also just come in? Most people write columns. Okay, you're talking about writing columns. Many people do not have the option of being able to write columns. People, you talk about a free press. Actually, it isn't free because it's controlled by people who are controlling the narrative. That